If you love Survivor and you're feeling down, David Bloomberg will turn it around. He'll break down the rules and he'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. This is why Blank lost. Ooh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Why Blank Lost, where we talk about the reasons each player was voted out of Survivor according to a set of rules I originally wrote way back after season one and have been updating ever since. I'm David Bloomberg, and joining me as my co-host, the woman who talked about Dr. Mike looking for a crack in front of a theater full of people, Jessica Lewis.
I absolutely did that. It was so much fun. And hello, everyone. Thanks for listening. And thank you for having me, David Bloomberg.
So we finally got to meet in person just a few days ago at the Know-It-Alls Live. From my view, it was truly amazing. So much fun to be there, meet so many listeners and even some non-listeners who were still good people.
Yes.
I really did enjoy all of it. And I want to thank everyone who came up to us to talk, share a laugh, have a discussion, or even wander about parts of the city with me.
Yes, I have to agree with you. It was such a great time. It was my first experience with a live Know-It-Alls. It was wonderful. Obviously, getting to meet you was super fun because I've been bothering you just via Skype these past few weeks now. So it's all official. We've actually met. I have photographs with you, so we'll be able to look at those forever and ever. So, yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
I'm hearing your voice. I still kind of look around and wonder where you have the phone camera pointed.
You know, those are good moments to capture, and that way I can post them and let the world see. So it's,
yes.
I wish I could have captured more, but I took it easy on you, David. I really did. But I do have to say that Rob put on a great event. He really worked extremely hard. It was wonderful to be part of that and to have an opportunity to be involved. And, you know, Fishback is wonderful as always. And it was great. It was just a really, really wonderful, wonderful experience.
I agree. I agree completely. And that was my first official Know-It-Alls. Although I've been to a Know-It-Alls in Reno, I have been told that doesn't count. It's not official. This was the official one.
Well, there. And so my first one was the official one.
That's right. All right. But, you know, this week we are not talking about you, Jessica. We are talking about the other Jessica, Jessica Johnston.
Yes, the other Jessica that actually went by Jessica on Survivor.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, she said in a web confessional, it would be my worst nightmare to go home tonight.
Yes.
Ouch. So I'm surprised they actually didn't show that on TV. Maybe they felt that would just be giving it away too much.
Yeah, because that and her Queen Bee comment didn't really fit with each other. So I could see why it's better to keep people guessing, because as soon as you hear someone saying something like that, you can in your head kind of go dun, dun, dun. You know, that's her key. You know, that's where she's going to be exiting stage left. So, yeah, I think that's probably why.
But before we get to her, we, of course, have a few other things to discuss. And one of them was something that happened during the episode with Joe at Tribal Council. Now, we were in the theater, a giant screen in front of us taking up our entire field of vision.
Giant.
Giant. As I said to you, it's a good thing your episode with the eye infection wasn't one that we were watching there.
We saw every pore on these people. It was crazy. So, yes, so, that would have been bad.
Yeah. So we're sitting there. I have you next to me. I have Sari in front of me. And Joe pulls out his idol.
Mm-hmm.
And you're both saying very similar things like, oh, he's not going to play it. He's not going to play it. And then he did play it. You're both like, he shouldn't have played it.
No, he definitely shouldn't have.
Right. And, you know, many people felt the same way. Tyson tweeted to say that everyone knows you don't play the idol in the tribal council when you flash it. You play it the following week. And I tweeted out what you and Sari had said, and Joe replied on Twitter less than 4 minutes later, saying that his reasoning was it could have been a 5-4 split with Mike and Cole flipping, And by showing the idol, he takes two votes from the split and has a majority. And I didn't really understand it.
I don't either. And I think that that's, I think he's Monday morning quarterbacking. That's how you say that. I think that that's, I mean, because it, in the moment, he probably thought, oh, I'm in trouble. And I put on a show. And because you're really still trying to figure things out when you're in tribal. And if you've got a lot of things going on, and clearly he made a spectacle of himself. So there's this idea that, well, now they're going to vote for me because I made a spectacle of myself. But I don't think that they walked into that tribal thinking that, well, we're going to kind of decide on the, you know, at the moment and see what happens. And then all of a sudden we're going to start switching votes if we see an idol. I don't think that that would have ended up happening.
Right. And I mean, maybe he saw something there that we didn't see on TV. I don't know what that could have been. But like you said, nothing happened in that tribal council to indicate people were switching their votes. And I'm surprised Joe didn't pick up on that, because nobody freaked out. People weren't getting up and whispering. They, as far as I could tell, they didn't even flinch a little bit.
Yeah.
And so that tells me there was no indication that they were worried about it at all. And I had actually already put together my notes on this and then was listening to Andrea on the recap show say the same thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if all three of us agree, we must be right.
Exactly. And I also should add, too, that he ended up making the show of the idol after having a conversation with Mike, or at least after Mike was pretending to be Joe, which was really quite hysterical. But it was interesting to see that, because they're talking about being healer strong and how the healers are all going to be together. And Mike is sitting in tribal council basically saying that's not the case, and how Joe had made it very clear that unless you're, you know, Mike, you're not, you know, you're healer strong, and how Mike was going to be the first one to go. So I think Mike really showed his hand at that point that I'm not healer strong. And then Joe's reaction to it was to then pull out the idol and make this scene again to someone who is supposed to be healer strong with him. So it was a whole weird affair to watch, because it didn't really make sense. Like, I kind of get putting on the show, but in response to something Mike said, it was strange timing. And then to still play it when you've got it on your neck, he would have been so much better hanging on to it, because then next vote, everyone knows he's got an idol. So then everyone's going to try to figure out, what do we do about Joe's idol?
Right. Now, I think Dr. Mike ended his statement there saying that he and Joe had made up.
He
and
did,
that
yes.
That was in the past. But you're right. It still does tell you a lot. And then, you know, Joe reached down and pulled an Adam there, as I was reminded of the meme that was made that I showed Adam in Reno, actually, you know, the picture of him pulling out the crotch idol.
Yes. And, you know,
excuse me while I whip this out.
You actually just did that. I love it.
Yes.
Listen, and you were giving me guff about talking about Mike finding a crack, okay?
Yeah. The best part was you had no idea what you said.
I didn't.
So people were giggling.
I know. I was like, what's with all the giggling? It was quite funny. But it was a good point. It was absolutely a good point. And I avoided making any further comments, because later when we were talking about balls flying, I didn't say anything. So I could have, and I held back.
Yeah. So getting back to Joe, I do think that the lack of reaction should have been a big clue to him that he didn't need to play it. And, you know, even though the heroes and the hustlers talked about having a plan B, we saw them talking about that, there still would have needed to be some sort of signal as to which plan they were going. You know, we've seen it before, whispering, mm-hmm, original
yes.
plan, plan B, whatever. You know, was it going to be Joe? Was it going to be Cole? Was it going to be Jessica? And there was nothing. And I mentioned this to Andrea on Twitter about how our great minds were thinking alike. And she did point out, of course, that it's easier said from home than done at the time. And, you know, she's right.
And that's true.
But Joe was so careful when he played his first idol, you know, looking for and finding the right reactions. And this time it looks like he just didn't pick up those clues. So I guess it's better to play it just in case rather than go home with it in your pocket. But I thought Dr. Mike summed it up with his tweet that he had diagnosed Joe with premature immunate ejaculation.
I love Dr. Mike. That's so good.
Now, also, incidentally, and you already have referred to this, actually, but it the situation shoots down what Chrissy said earlier in the episode about how she knows tribal councils are live and votes will change. I've talked at length before about how that simply isn't true in most cases. This was another perfect example, as was also pointed out immediately on Twitter by the first Jessica L. on RHAP, Jessica Leese, whom you met.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were all locked in on Chrissy and Jessica. It's getting confusing now. That's Jessica Johnston, not you or Jessica Leese. and nobody changed a thing even after Joe's performance.
Yes. And I do think that unless you see some chatter going on, some people actually talking, there's way too many people sitting there to assume that everyone in your alliance is then going to switch to plan B because, oh, here comes an idol. Now we have to switch to plan B because you want to make sure that everybody is part of the same exact plan. And the only way that you've actually accomplished that is before you walk into tribal council, if there's no discussion happening at tribal council.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, one more thing I think to discuss before we get to the main reason we're here. And, you know, as listeners know, we go through the CBS videos to see what nuggets of information we can use to make more sense of what happens each week. Unfortunately, at the merge, it's usually mostly players talking about the feast, and that was certainly the case once again. And I know there's nothing more that I like rather than seeing each player talk about their Outback feast in dripping detail.
I know. It was so... Do you know how many I just stopped watching? I was like, okay,
yes,
I'm moving on. Yes. Yeah. There was a whole lot of talk about steak and salads and the cheese. I mean, come on. Apparently, this was like cheese straight from heaven. I don't even understand what the big deal was with the cheese on the salad.
I don't know. But I'm just glad they didn't also have blooming onions because we would have had more videos just on those.
Yeah, we would have because those are really good.
But, yeah. Well, yeah. But see, there you go.
I know. I could talk about a blooming onion for a long time.
But I will say that several RHAP patrons went to Outback for dinner the next night in honor of their sponsorship.
Well, that was nice.
So it looks like they're already getting a return on their investment. I joined them just in time to get a spoonful of chocolate thunder from down under. and I have to say it's really good, though I'm pretty sure it would not cause Jessica to lose her virginity.
Oh, my word. I can't. You know, can we not keep hearing about that? I mean, she's a sweet girl and I really like it, but it's like every other confessional. We are reminded of it. It's just interesting. And the thunder from down under didn't help.
No. The funny thing is, in her interview, she said she doesn't even remember saying that. So.
I know. Maybe she was in a food coma at that point and it was just a sugar high and it took over. It's quite possible.
So moving from that aspect of Jessica to what happened in her game, I'd say we were on the right track for our prediction of this week,
mm-hmm.
with one rather big difference in what actually happened. The Heroes and Hustlers did indeed band together. Cole was a big target, but something shifted, and now it's time to figure out why Jessica lost.
Yes.
As always, before we start discussing these rules, I want to remind people that if you want to read all of them, you can do so at robhasawebsite.com/survivor rules. With that said, we will start off, where else would you start off, but with the first rule, which says to scheme and plot. How do you think your namesake did here?
It's rather interesting because I really wish that we had gotten to see the game that she talked about in her exit interviews that she was playing, if that makes sense. Because in her exit interviews, she did talk a lot about Cole, obviously, because I think most of this podcast is going to be about Cole, unfortunately. Sorry, Jessica, but that you guys kind of go together here. But she talked a lot about how she realized that Cole was a detriment to her game, but then thought that that would be beneficial to her game because he would kind of be a shield. If everybody doesn't like Cole, then bringing him to the end would be a really smart idea because everybody hates Cole. He steals all the food. I can beat him in a social game, final three, hands down, which is a fantastic idea. But that's not the game we saw her play. And that's, you know, that's the unfortunate thing that, Jessica found herself in because of a showmance. And, you know, I mean, she was struggling with even using that term in a lot of her exit interviews, but her father told her she had to own it. So she is. So she was in a showmance, and I appreciate that she's owning it. But I do think that her scheming and plotting, she wasn't able to scheme and plot the way that she necessarily needed to because of Cole. He was telling everybody what was going on. You know, she gets an advantage and he tells everyone, and someone has an idol and he tells everyone. And so I think that truly Cole was a detriment to her scheming and plotting.
Yeah. I mean, we're totally on the same track here. And I think the main part of the problem for me is that this was Jessica's first and only tribal council. And like you said, she talked a good game in her interviews and even in some of her confessionals while she was still there. She said a lot of the right things, but the only way we can really judge for sure is by what happens at tribal council.
Yeah.
And so Jessica told Mike Bloom that she, you know, never really got to play the game because her tribes kept winning, which normally we think of as a good thing. But in this case, I think it was something of a detriment to her. I'd like to give her the benefit of the doubt because she seemed to be at least able to talk the talk. You know, she told Rob, there was so much strategy in my game. Like you said, she tried to maneuver around the bumbling Cole. You know, she had other things going on as well. Joe tweeted to confirm that she was his number one, you know, from the start of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she told Josh that she was happy to have the Joe sub-alliance within their larger alliance. And in fact, she came in looking to align with a strong guy who could play the game a bit more evil, which does pretty well describe Joe.
Yes.
And, you know, but then when she was split from him, she said she was coming up with her own strategies and plans and alliances. And part of that was, you know, she had a good relationship with obviously Cole, also Dr. Mike. She thought Lauren. But at that time, she did learn who to tell what. You know, she was smart enough not to tell Cole about Dr. Mike's idol. So, you know, after being burned 3 or 4 times, she finally learned not to touch the hot stove.
Yeah.
But like you said, she did flip on Cole in terms of not flipping on Cole, but flipping on her thought process of what to do with Cole. Like originally she was going to cut him, then she was going to keep him as a shield. And I do agree that there was some positive aspects to that because, you know, she had this good relationship and alliance with Dr. Mike, and they both knew Cole was a liability, but he was their liability.
Yes.
As she said, he would never write their names down. So they turned into, you know, mom and dad mode to protect him. And that's, I think, where things really just fell apart. And you mentioned it already. She was so busy worrying about that that she didn't look around to see what was going on with herself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in numerous interviews, she said she was trying to keep Cole safe, keep Joe trusting her, stop Mike from getting paranoid, keep Ben and Lauren with the healers. And she didn't concentrate enough on her own game. So she didn't see them coming for her. And if she had, there were clues that if she had been paying more attention, she would have noticed it. But at the time, she just didn't pick it up.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, too, with her, a lot of you had mentioned her confessionals. And this is something that, please fact check me on it because I don't know. But I mean, I counted like 13 confessionals for Jessica, and there might have been more, but that was what I came up with. And I think out of the 13, 10 were about Cole in some respect. So her game, it was like it centered around Cole, whether it be talking about how he has, you know, that she thinks she's in love, to he's my number one, to oh, he just broke me. I mean, there was always this centeredness around Cole. And I think in this type of game, you can't get away from something that is so clearly from the start being created. I mean, from the minute they got off the boat, she was telling Cole he looked like he was straight out of a postcard in front of everybody. You know, they're walking off the boat. And so that's something that people are going to notice and pay attention to. And it was quickly noticed by people in her tribe that there was some, I hate to use the term, love goggles going on, because, you know, I mean, we have to kind of, we have to admire the fact that, you know, on my season, we had something very, very similar happening, and that there was a very similar result, you know, where the male of this group of two ends up becoming the target for all of the antics that he is doing, eating, stealing food, and really kind of upsetting people. And the female of the bunch has to try to fix the behavior instead of focusing on herself and her own game, and ends up suffering because of it and getting voted out of the game because of it. So it is, it's too bad for Jessica that that's where she found herself, but she also kind of set herself up for it by falling into it so quickly. I mean, it was, I think her first confessional was how, I have to see if I have it here, but it was, I think I fell in love. She calls him Tarzan and says, I think I fell in love. That was her first, that was her introduction to the world of Survivor. I think I fell in love. And so I think that that's kind of where we saw her story then progress to.
Okay. Now you've run a little bit ahead of me here into rule number two.
I apologize.
No, that's okay. But before we get there, I do want to say, I do think that there were things that Jessica could have done.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know,
to prevent being blindsided, if she had been more aware, which of course is pretty much the definition of being blindsided, and that's the reason you make sure your target doesn't know it's coming. So, you know, props to the Hero and Hustler Alliance for that one.
Oh yeah, and listen, but I want to give her credit, because I do think that Jessica's social game, I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of this, and I feel like I'm, you know, jumping ahead maybe to even to like rule three, but yeah, I mean, it's just, it's unfortunate to find yourself in that type of situation, and because there's really, digging out of it would have been very, very difficult for her.
Right. Now, one thing that all of you at Know-It-Alls brought up in response to a question was what would have happened if the healers had approached Ben with a different target in mind, like maybe Ryan or Devin. And I think this is a really good point, and I was also considering the same topic, because, you know, Jessica herself told Josh in her interview with him that she knew Ben was wavering because he defended Chrissy. So then I don't understand then why they went to Ben mm-hmm. with Chrissy as the target. And she also admitted to Josh that this was indeed the healer's downfall. They thought they had Ben and Lauren, but they were overconfident in the relationships that they believed that they had with them.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And I think that this is where Jessica could have completely changed the game if there had been a different handling of those relationships. And I went through that with who could have brought who along and how they could have eventually gotten rid of this whole Hero Hustlers thing and turned it into a more of an individual game of individual relationships that then could have created a seven.
Yeah, the problem is, I think, or a big problem is that they, you know, the first target was Chrissy, and there was no way Ben was going to turn on Chrissy. Now, as a side note, I guess we can conclude that people didn't actually overhear Chrissy talking strategy to Ben during the feast, or that they didn't care, because I don't think they'd have approached him with her as their target if they had heard the two of them, you know, talking about how they're each other's number one.
I love that he looked so uncomfortable during that entire conversation. Yes.
Yes. We'll talk later. Yes, in secret.
That was so fantastic. That was great.
So I think we can move on to rule number two here, and you've already discussed part of it. I think that the initial thought when I was starting to write up my notes was, oh, well, you know, she didn't scheme and plot too much. But then we need to remember that a key part of this rule clearly warns against being in an obvious duo, because they're just begging to be split up. And, you know, Jessica herself said in interviews that she was given two pieces of advice before going to play, with the first being, don't hook up with the good looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, there can be no doubt that Jessica violated both the advice that she was given and this rule in a big way.
Yes. I mean, I think she was obviously limited in what her choices were. But if she went into the game.
Choices in good looking guys or
no choices in who she was going to align with in her group, because she walked into it being told, okay, don't align with the good looking guy. And her plan before the game started was, I would like to align myself with someone who's a little more villainous. And she was given the good looking 8-pack and the villain. And she still chose the good looking 8-pack. So
she chose them both, you know.
Well, we didn't see the relationship right. that had developed between she and Joe. But I think that, you know, she was smart enough to recognize what not to do, but still couldn't stop herself from doing it. And, you know, where she could have focused more on Joe. And she did eventually start focusing more attention and energy on Dr. Mike, which I think was a great process in her game as well, that she developed that relationship with Dr. Mike the way that she did. So I think that, you know, the scheming and plotting, she wasn't able to, I Cole is her detriment. I mean, it really is her detriment, or was.
I we're only in the second rule. We've got a bunch more to go, but I do think it's fair to say that being in such a tight pair with Cole is one of the biggest factors that contributed here. We saw the heroes and hustlers talking about who to vote out. They started with Joe and Cole, and then they progressed. And Chrissy suggested having a plan B in case Joe had an idol and Cole might have, you know, an idol or an advantage as well. They wanted to pick the next person in line, and that was Jessica, in large part because of her proximity to Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it could be said that there wasn't much other choice if they wanted to target a healer other than Joe or Cole, because Desi had immunity and Dr. Mike isn't exactly viewed as a threat. Plus, he's tighter with Ben and Lauren, I think. So that did leave Jessica. But if Jessica hadn't been so close with Cole, I've got to think that there could have been a different plan that would have emerged. And maybe they'd have just decided to go against Cole directly. If there's not an easier side target, then you just go against the one that you want to get rid of anyway.
Yes. And I think I actually mentioned this at Know It All's about this idea of the threesome, if you will. And this is what we saw happen in my season, where we thought Jay had an idol. We were pretty sure that Jay would play it for Taylor, but we didn't think he'd play it for Michelle. And so we ended up voting out Michelle, you know, so it's like this weird kind of idea that you're looking at those. That's how much the idols really affect who goes home, because you're really trying to make some determinations about something that you can't control. And in this situation, I think they were processing, well, if Joe has one, will he play it for Cole? And, you know, and they just decided that Jessica was the next one that they wouldn't play it for, which is interesting that they didn't think Cole would play an idol for Jessica. And clearly nobody saw a relationship between Joe and Jessica. That was clearly not an obvious relationship to other people that were on the tribe.
Well, the other thing is, I think that they just did such a good job of keeping it secret that there was no reason for anyone to play it for Jessica.
Well, right. But that's the difference between the way that she portrayed the relationship with she and Cole versus the relationship she had with Joe.
Right. Another issue was, well, we already discussed really how Jessica knew Cole had made mistakes, but she was thinking that she could use those mistakes to her advantage. And okay, I can understand that. But the problem here was that those mistakes were pissing off her other potential allies, which was an even bigger problem. You know, she admitted that Cole made bad moves when it came to food, and he just didn't think he ate food by himself. He went off alone. Those are things you obviously can't do on Survivor. Mm-hmm. But she continued to say that Cole was her number one.
Yes. Yes. And she said in one of her interviews, she said, at what point do you determine that you have to cut someone from your alliance, who you know is never going to vote you out? You have to cut them when they're pissing everybody else off who you're trying to work with, like Ben. You know, that these are people that you're trying to have relationships with, and you're clearly realizing, I shouldn't be making him apologize for his own behaviors, because that's not going to help my game, because I'm protecting him, whereas I should be just as upset as everybody else is that he's eating all of the food. And I can't believe he caught fish and didn't share the fish. I mean, like, that blows my mind.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I've wondered about that. I mean, I know there are no rules that say you have to share, but how would you catch a fish and not share?
Yeah.
You know, or could you do that? Could, I mean, if there were true tribe divisions, like you're hated, I don't like you, I guess you could do that. But even when there are tribal divisions, it seems to me everybody shares the food. Nobody says, no, this is mine. You can't have any.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even doing it out of spite. He was just like, oh, I caught this. I'm hungry. I'm going
to
eat it.
And he wasn't even trying to hide it. I mean, he was literally sitting there in front of everybody just eating, just like he'd gone through drive-thru or something and picked himself up a burger. You know, he's like, yeah, this is mine. But when you're out there and you're in the elements and, you know, one person might be out catching the fish. And I agree that that person who's catching the fish, they should get to eat more because they're the ones using extra energy to feed the rest of us. But everybody gets to eat. Everybody gets to eat. I mean, food is a very sensitive subject when you're out there. And to see someone take extra or to just take it for themselves and not share, that's a big deal. That's a huge deal. And she realized that. She said it multiple times. This is Survivor. You can't do that. But she continued, like you said, to say, he's my number one.
Yeah, I mean, this goes all the way back. You know, she said in an episode 2 web confessional that she enjoyed spending time with Cole in the water, including discussion of some game strategy, but she didn't want to be seen as part of a power couple. So there was plenty of time for her to rectify the situation, but she made a conscious decision not to.
Mm-hmm.
And what did that turn into? Well, it turned into Ben at the beginning of this episode saying it's hard to trust Cole and Jessica playing patty cake.
Yes, I did enjoy that. That was a good comment.
So, I mean, I understand wanting to keep your shields around, but you have to make sure your enemies don't simply go around the shield and target you directly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So with that, we can move into the third rule, which tells players they need to be flexible. How do you think Jessica did here?
Can we just talk about Cole again? My God, like everything is very, it's so frustrating because I don't think that she was flexible like she needed to be. And she even acknowledged it in her exit interviews that the healers were so locked in and they thought that they were so confident and they were overly confident. And she was sure she had Lauren. She wasn't sure about Ben. But that's where that flexibility really needs to kick in, where you need to kind of take stock and start looking at everything. Because if you are the least bit concerned that Ben is wavering, and you know Ben has a very close relationship with Chrissy, which she said multiple times, Chrissy was number one for Ben. I was number two. If you know that, you need to start refiguring your numbers and you need to start looking at other people outside of your little group that you thought was so tight, because you're going to find yourself on the wrong side of the numbers, which is exactly what happened. So I think she tied herself too much to particular individuals and lost sight of what was happening around her.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are two aspects here that gave her trouble. And, you know, one, obviously, you know, I'll just repeat it. She was so solidly locked in with Cole, but it wasn't just that she couldn't see what was going on around her. It was also, if you're Lauren or Ben, why would you say, oh, well, she's locked in with Cole, but, you know, we'll side with her anyway. I'm sure she'll flip on him at some point. Mm-hmm. Because she wouldn't. She didn't have that flexibility.
Right.
Whether it was Cole or all the healers, but especially with Cole. And then there's the part of the rule that says you need to have your finger on the pulse of every member of your tribe. And we've already talked about how Jessica said she was so focused on other people that she didn't even know her name was being floated. You know, she told Mike Bloom that she's embarrassed to admit she wasn't even thinking about the possibility that she was a target, and told Rob that if she had seen it coming, she could have gotten Dr. Mike to play the idol for her. He would have done it. And I think elsewhere, she even said the same about Joe and his idol. So, you know, we already discussed some of that, that they would have potentially played the idol for her, but she had no clue it was coming. None of them knew it was coming.
Right.
And you can't put a plan into action if you don't know what's going on. And she did not have that pulse.
Mm-hmm. I think that if she had gone into the merge and made it very clear to people right away that she was cutting ties with Cole, and I think she should have been obvious about it. I really do. I think that that would have been to her benefit. I think if she had utilized her social game the way that she wanted to and the way that she could have, she and Mike could have been very powerful together. And Mike was obviously close to Lauren. Lauren said that Dr. Mike was was solid with her, and she told Ben the same thing. I think that she talked to, maybe not, maybe it was just in a confessional, but she talked about Dr. Mike. So if you've got her and if you've got Jessica, you've got Mike and Lauren are close. Then you've got Ben, who's also close with Lauren, and Ben, who's close with Chrissy, and Chrissy's close with Ryan, and Ryan's close with Devin. You know, you can take all of, I mean, and that's how it really, it progresses. Right. You take all of these right. little groups and you bring them together, and now you're at seven. And so it's not about tribal alliances anymore or colors. It's now about people and relationships. And if all of those people have a commonality, or they all feel like Cole's the problem, now you've got seven and you can get rid of Cole without having to worry about all of this extra stuff, you know, with this relationship and this power couple. And but Jessica needed to really, she needed to address that right away. And unfortunately, that's not how she was playing her game.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, it was clear Ben wanted to get rid of Cole, and both Jessica and Dr. Mike, I think Dr. Mike said it more strongly, like, well, if we get rid of Cole, that kills the whole Yawa Strong thing. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, kill it.
But it also,
get rid
yeah,
of it. It's okay.
Right. It could have made a better alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have shown, okay, we're willing to go with you, you know, because otherwise the Yawa Strong, okay, that's five. Five is not a majority.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they wanted Ben and Lauren to give up on their past relationships, their past allies, but they wanted to bring all the healers in. So it was going to be the healers plus Ben and Lauren.
Yes. And it's so, and it doesn't help Lauren or Ben in that type of situation, especially when the person that group is telling you to vote for is Chrissy, when Ben clearly has a relationship with Chrissy. So the whole process, it to me didn't seem like they really thought through all of the possibilities here. And that's where it made the decision for Lauren and Ben easier with where they needed to go. I think it was a struggle for Lauren, and I think she is going to come back to Dr. Mike. I think that that's going to be a strong twosome. But I think at that point in time, she was realizing what was better for her own game at that moment.
Well, right. And just a lot of it goes back to, again, you know, the lack of flexibility among the healers in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so... it was funny when you were just talking a couple minutes ago about that she needed to show that she was cutting Cole in an obvious way. I was thinking about her acting, you know, she had taken over the mom role. And I was thinking every time Cole did something, you ate the cinnamon sticks, go to your room.
Yeah.
You
know, she could have been really
cutting ties with you, young man.
Yeah. Like, well, they have this little secret like discussion on the beach where they're all trying to keep it quiet. Like she and Lauren are telling him to not eat the cinnamon sticks. You know, and it's, yeah, you could be a lot more obvious about a discussion like that because everyone's going to agree with you. Everyone is going to agree with you.
Right. All right. So with that, we move into the fourth rule. Now, the fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. And I believe there might have been one situation where Jessica had an overly emotional attachment.
You think?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, yeah.
Yeah. Patented Jessica, you think there.
That's right.
Also dealing with a relationship with someone named Jessica. So.
Listen, yeah, and I have to do it. Okay. I've been avoiding it. I haven't been bringing it up, but I have to do this because yeah, I mean, come on. The whole thing is just, it's so frustrating to me, but I have to give Jessica Johnston props. Because she did end up, she wanted to clarify some things regarding that relationship, because we all know she used her emotions, let them control her game. But she did say, she told Entertainment Tonight that since the game, she and Cole have met up multiple times, but she did also add, he doesn't have any secrets. He doesn't have a kid or anything. He's totally clean. Yes, she said this. I just have to point that out. He's okay. So as when I read that, I had to laugh. I shouldn't laugh. It's not laughable, but it was just, I have to give her props for bringing that up. So,
well,
yeah.
I mean, it's obvious Cole doesn't have any secrets because
he can't.
It's not possible
no,
for Cole to have secrets.
He would not have been able to have a girlfriend back at home who was expecting a child and not tell Jessica Johnson on the island. Like, hey, guess what? by the way.
Yeah. Like, and here's my social security number, too. My credit card number.
He has those tattooed on his arm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, considering how much time we've already spent talking about her relationship with Cole, the you think is 100% appropriate, because it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
You know, it does bear mentioning that Jessica told Josh that she was indeed confused. She had Cole whispering sweet nothings into her ear, but she knew this was Survivor. You know, was it true love? Was it the game? Was it both? If it was real, was it worth ruining her game over? All those things went through her head, when it would have been a lot better for her if game thoughts were the only things going through her head.
Yes, absolutely. And it is. And I have to say, out there, it's hard because you're clearly on your own. You're with a bunch of people that you've just met, that you're just getting to know, and you're hungry, and there's all of this emotion running through you. And it's a difficult situation. It's very stressful. So to find someone that you can be close to, that's really a fantastic feeling in that game. But you also have to be thinking about, how is it going to help my game? That's got to be your number one thought about any relationship you're developing. Like, will this be good for my game? If they come with a six pack, great. But, you know, it's got to be able to further your game and not be a detriment to your game.
Yeah, I think she said at one point that next time, if there is a next time for her, she won't fall for a guy with an eight pack, maybe a 12 pack.
Yeah, I think anyone would be a little shocked with a 12 pack.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I mean, it does. You know, it does make me think about some of the things she said. Like, OK, originally she had said, She knew she had to cut Cole, but then she decided maybe we keep him around longer because he can act as a shield and would be good to go up against at the end. Well, okay. And it's good to say that. And from a totally objective standpoint, maybe that's true. But was she thinking totally objectively, or was there some amount of rationalization there? Like, well, I want to keep him around, so here's a good reason to keep him around.
Right. Yeah. And I think that that might be part of it, is that you're looking at the situation that you find yourself in, and you enjoy cuddling up next to him at night. And that's nice, but in the game world, that's not helpful. And so, yes, you can rationalize it and say, but in the end, I'll beat him. But then again, you've got to get to the end. And if you can't get to the end, then that relationship is not going to help you get there.
Right. We move to the fifth rule, which tells players to pretend to be nice and play the social game. I think Jessica was playing a very strong social game, as evidenced by the relationships she made with people as far-ranging as Joe, Cole, Dr. Mike, even Ben and Lauren. Those obviously didn't hold when they needed to, and we've already gone over the reasons that they didn't. But Jessica seemed to understand the importance of this part of the game. She said in, I think it was her day after video, that catching food and the like is such a minuscule part of the game. Maybe she should tell that to JP. but, you know, it's fighting through the physical hunger and exhaustion to communicate and build relationships when every part of you just wants to sleep. And unfortunately for her, those relationships just weren't enough because of everything else that was going on there.
Yeah, I think that she has the ability to be a fantastic social player and help that strategically further her game, because she is actually I think she's a genuinely nice person. She seems very pleasant. She seems like someone that would be easy to talk to. And she also really focuses on the healer aspect of herself. She talked about that a lot, about how that lifestyle that she leads as a nurse and how that affects her ability to adapt to situations and also take care of people. I think that that part of her life absolutely benefited her in this game. It's just, she ended up with a guy with an eight pack. So, you know, yeah. It's like, it's full circle. It's all full circle. But yeah, I think her social game with forming relationships with people, and I wish we could have seen more of the relationship she formed with Joe, because that would have been an interesting one to watch, considering how different their personalities are. But yeah, absolutely. I think her social game abilities were fantastic.
Yeah. So without much more to say there, we go into the sixth rule, which warns players against being too much of a threat. Now, Cerie said on Know It Alls that any pair on Survivor is a threat. And I don't think we need to rehash what we've already said on that front. But She also said at the merge, you want to be taking out the threats. And Jessica herself is not a threat because she's not strategic enough or physical enough. I tend to agree. As we've discussed, I think she could have become more strategic, but she didn't really have a chance. And I also don't think she compares to what we've seen with the likes of several others when it comes to strategy. But she was a threat in the way we've already discussed. She was a number for the healers, a loyal partner for Cole and Joe and Dr. Mike. And if you can't take out the real threat, taking out an ally is a tried and true tradition, as you've already discussed, because, you know, there's something of a threat by association. Anything else to add on that?
That I love Suri. I'll throw that in there. I didn't say it earlier. She's so amazing. That's the lady right there that's got the social game that everybody wants. But I will add, though, as far as, you know, the thoughts of Jessica kind of being a wasted vote, I do agree with that. I won't spend a lot of time on it, but I think that she wasn't someone that they needed to be concerned with moving forward necessarily at that moment with how her game was being played. I think, yes, like you said, developing later down the road, it probably would have been more of a situation and she would have had to have been someone that they'd be dealing with. But now, at this point in time, I don't think that she was that much of a threat in the game at the moment that she went home.
Okay. Rule 7 talks about how to get and use idols and advantages. Now, Jessica found the disadvantage advantage and ended up giving it to Devin. She said that she involved the whole tribe in a mutual decision. And at the time, she had also tweeted in agreement with someone who said they thought she purposely gave Devin the disadvantage, knowing Joe would play the idol and flush that out. Now, I think it was smart of her to work together with the rest of the tribe like that to avoid being seen as kind of the lone bad guy, especially once Cole told the world that she had this advantage.
That's true. I just wonder if she could have played, and I was going back and forth with this about the advantage, with whether or not she could have played it differently, because she did obviously stop Devin from voting. But would it have been better for her to stop a hero from voting? Because then you kind of force Devin to have to pick a side. And I don't think Devin's going to end up going to, you know, to rocks if there's a tie. So you can end up almost assuring yourself you're going to get rid of a hero.
Well, but that was part of the problem. Ben didn't want her to give it to a hero. And they didn't, you know, the rest of her tribe didn't want her to give it to
the
healer.
Yeah, I'm forgetting about Ben. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Then. Okay.
And apparently Lauren was okay with giving it to Devin.
I love Lauren.
So
Lauren is so great at just kind of thinking about herself, like in those moments, like, you know what? No, that's good. You do you at that point. You know, I think that's great. So that makes sense. All right. So that's the advantage.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, also Jessica was with Dr. Mike when he found the idol and she seemed to believe he would have used it on her if she thought she needed it. I mean, if that was good, then, well, that's good.
And she,
we just don't know.
She did clear it up with Rob that she did not tell anyone that Dr. Mike had an idol, that she was not pulling a Cole. So that was
whoa,
good.
Whoa. That has whole different meanings. And, you can't say that about virginal Jessica.
All right. I didn't mean it like that, David Bloomberg. My mother is listening, David.
Oh. Sorry, ma'am.
But yeah, so that was, I do think that she seemed to understand the effect that those things had and the way to play them. And the fact that she did discuss it with the entire tribe, the advantage once Cole told everybody, was probably the best thing for her to do. So yeah, I think that, and I enjoyed her line about staring into a chip bag for too long, because I've done that a lot myself. So I get it. Totally get it.
All right. So we move on to Appendix A. Jeff Probst said during this tribal council that what makes someone a target changes from tribal council to tribal council. So, yes, exactly. That's the point of this appendix. Thank you, Jeff.
He's giving you props, David Bloomberg.
He is. So You know, in Rule 6, I mentioned what Cerie said about Jessica not being a threat and how you want to take out the threats at the merge. And Ryan also said on the show, it is of great importance to take out a threat. In other words, well, players should have been voting out the strong here.
Mm-hmm.
But she also talked about how you have to look at who their allies are. And if they're not with you, they may have to go. This goes along with my statement within this appendix that notes how alliances take precedence over the weak, strong debate. Cerie said if she were there, she would have gone after someone like a Cole or a strong competitor like JP or even Dr. Mike. I think that JP is off the table for now because, as we discussed last week, he's just a lump of clay to be molded.
I don't think we even saw him this episode.
No, barely. You know, it was suggested to me on Twitter that his new name should be Clay P. Now, I'm sorry I don't remember who I should be crediting for that, but you have my thanks for that one.
Wow.
But anyway, I also think Dr. Mike is not seen as a big threat, even though he's done well in the puzzle aspect of challenges. And I also believe he has a bond with Lauren and maybe Ben, even though they didn't vote with him this time.
Mm-hmm.
But that still left Cole as a viable target, especially once Joe stood up and brandished the immunity idol. To me, that said, Cole would have been the perfect one to target.
Yes.
But again, you know, this goes back to the idea of a live tribal and my ongoing assertion that they are few and far between. And this was obviously not one of them.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Joe in that moment was, I know that he did say that he was willing to play the idol for someone that he was playing the game with and that he trusted, alluding to Desi. But I don't think that this would have been a tribal where he would have played it for Cole, because I think now things have shifted and you are at the merge and it is more of an individual type of game. And I feel like Joe would be less likely to try to save someone else instead of just trying to save himself, either this tribal or even the next tribal council.
Yeah. And especially if he didn't have some real good indication,
right,
or real good intel. And I think that was part of probably standing up and trying to draw attention to himself, much like he drew the votes of Alan and Ashley to him on the previous tribe. I think he was trying to draw attention. The difference was he did that before tribal council last time, so people had a chance to put a target on him.
Right.
He did it at tribal council this time. And by that point, it was too late.
Yeah. And didn't he have a conversation? Was it with Cole on the beach about how you haven't seen me in tribal council yet? And he was,
yes,
so very proud of himself.
Yes.
Yeah. That was interesting.
Well, and he lived up to it, you know.
Yes. Yes, he did.
But one thing we have to remember, that this appendix is not just about the weak and the strong, you know, even though we talk about it that way a lot, but positioning yourself for the future. And this goes back to something we discussed a little bit already, and something also that Stephen noted, which is that Ben and Lauren, if they went with their Yawa alliance, they would have been at the bottom of the healers, which is obviously not a great place to be.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Jessica confirmed that. She told Josh that if those two had gone in with the healers, they would indeed have voted them out. So, again, you know, we talked about this. I think it was Rule 3 when we talked about the flexibility. One group, they wanted Ben and Lauren to be flexible enough to come over to them, hang around, give them numbers, and then be cut. And, you know, Ben and Lauren were smart enough to sniff that out.
And I do think that with this particular group now that's developed, the seven, it puts a lot of people like Ryan and I think Lauren in a great place, because you do have Ben, who I think is going to take a leadership role now that this configuration has come together. I think that that's going to help those people kind of stay in the shadows a little bit, because they'll have Ben, who was a very focal point of this episode. He got a lot of attention this episode, and he was the one who really said, this is drawing the line in the sand. This is going to decide who's running the show around here. I think that was what he was saying at the end of Tribal Council. So I think that they're kind of setting Ben up for that leadership position, which a lot of them will probably enjoy, to, you know, be able to back up a little bit and just like, let's let Ben take this. So, because that just gets you further in the game if someone else is the focal point.
Right, exactly. So before I sum up my conclusions, do you have any other final thoughts about Jessica?
I think Jessica really had the potential of going far in this game and doing quite well because she is so likable and she is someone that knows how to develop relationships with any number of people. She didn't seem to lock herself into a particular, I'm going to say this and then explain it, type of person when it came to forming relationships. I think she did end up with those blinders on because there was that idea that Cole could be something more than just an asset in the game. And that is what really caused her game to head in the direction that it did. If she had been able to just maintain creating those social relationships with the people like she was doing, including Cole, and just maintaining it as a game relationship as opposed to a potential down the road going to have a date after Survivor is over and continuing this on in a more romantic sense, I think her game could have been fantastic because she does have the social skills of any person who needs to play this game in order to win this game. She's very, very likable. I've said that already. And it was sad to see Cole become such a main focal point of her game. We didn't really get to see Jessica play. We got to see Jessica babysitting Cole and kind of taking care of Cole. And she even said in one of her interviews that she spent the merge. All I did was pick up Cole's trash at the merge. That's what she ended up sharing. And I think that that really kind of sums up the game that she ended up playing. And that's unfortunate for Jessica.
Yeah. So my final thoughts, heading into the merge, it looked like some new alliances had been made to add to original allies. But even as Yawa vowed to stay together, the healers also reconstituted themselves, meaning Ben and Lauren were not equals, but on the bottom. To make matters worse, the alliance approached Ben with a plan to vote off one of his top allies from his original tribe, rather than perhaps asking him and Lauren who they'd like to target, aside from Cole, of course, or maybe even going with Cole. So the heroes and hustlers retreated to their original positions and joined forces. Normal procedure at this time would be to take out the biggest threat, but there was worry that Joe and Cole might have protection, so there had to be a plan B. For that plan, it made perfect sense to target the person who was a tight pair with Cole and often acted as his brain in the game when he would do something unthinking and have to clean up his act, like you just said. They also believed that closeness would mean Jessica would never flip or truly be on their side, and she was unlikely to have protection of her own or even suspect it was necessary. At some point, Plan B became Plan A, probably because it was the easiest way to ensure they wouldn't have to scramble at Tribal Council, and it worked out perfectly in that regard. Joe pulled out his idol. Nobody flinched. They just stuck to the plan and blindsided Jessica, who had been trying to protect everyone else but herself. And that is why Jessica lost.
I like it. That was good.
So, all right. So we put your namesake behind us in the rearview mirror here.
I know. Goodbye, Jessica.
Yes. It's time to look ahead. So last week, both of us had the same prediction for the same reasons. So my plan of having you go first didn't work. So I think we should try again. What are your thoughts?
You're
going to
make me go
episode?
First again?
Well, yeah.
So unfair. All right. So here's my thoughts. Ugh, I hate this. Because I want to say the vote that should happen, it should be Cole. It should be Cole just because of everything that happened last week. And I feel like this is like a Taylor situation again, you know, where everyone's just going to finally realize Cole's got to go. Like everyone's going to come to that realization that Cole's got to go. But I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think it's going to happen because I think people will begin to realize that now that Jessica is gone, Cole will continue to dig his own hole and he won't have any protection and he will continue to do things he shouldn't do and there will be no one there to help him. And so he's going to be an easy vote down the road. Like he's going to dig his own hole and they can get him out later. I realize he might be a challenge beast, but if he's hungry, he won't be because he'll be passing out. So I don't think they're going to have to worry about him so much, but I think Joe's going to go. I really think it's Joe. I think Joe... after his performance at Tribal Council, they know that he doesn't have the protection of the idol. I don't know how quickly he can find another one. Maybe he'll pull it off, and that would be amazing if he did. But if he doesn't win immunity, I feel like it's going to be Joe's turn.
Okay. Now, you said Cole digging a hole. Isn't it Cole and Chrissy wrestling in the hole digging for something there that we saw in the previews?
Yes, and that is true. So maybe he finds it.
Yeah, that's not the hole you were talking about him digging.
No. He's, I do think that, I think Cole's going to be, if he finds the idol too, in that, like, if he does dig and finds an idol, he's keeping it for himself. I don't think he's not playing that. And everyone will know he has it because he'll walk around Tribal Council wearing it. Or not even Tribal Council. He'll walk around the beach wearing it because he can't keep a secret. But, yeah, so I...
Well, they'll see the wrestling match anyway.
Yes,
so.
Yeah, so I do think that... I think Joe's going to be in some trouble this week. I really do.
Okay, well, once again... We have picked the same person.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Now, here's how I got there. So I see two possible outcomes.
Okay.
One is a pogonging of the healers for at least two more episodes. The second option is some immediate flipping. Unfortunately for the healers, I think the first option is the most likely. Because, like you said, everybody else knows Joe doesn't have an idol now. The whole Cole and Chrissy wrestling match goes on. And, you know, so you've got that happening. Now, of course, one of them could win immunity as well. But I think Joe is the most likely target if he doesn't win the challenge because, well, that's the perfect time for others to target him.
Mm-hmm.
If he does win the challenge and Cole does wrestle the idol away, well, that could spell bad news for
Desi.
My winner pick, Desi. But I'm going to hope all those events don't happen. And, you know, just keep it simple and straightforward and join with you in saying that Joe is going to be the one who is most likely to get voted out. You know, the only question to me is whether someone like Dr. Mike flips and votes against Joe as well in hopes that he can, you know, show some allegiance to that majority alliance.
So, you know, what would be great for him to do is this, is, and I want somebody to do this so badly because I don't think we really see enough of it. I'm racking my brain right now. But if he continues this relationship with Lauren and tries to almost maintain like a secret relationship, like, listen, I'm going to vote with these people over here to make it look like I'm not with you, but I'm really with you. And that would be, that'd be fun to see if Dr. Mike tried to play both sides, but even to a point where, you know, it was a vote thing as well and not just a, I'm going to show my hands, you know, show my cards, I guess, at Tribal Council by voting with you. That would be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting to see how the production of the episode happens, too. If it is a clear pogonging, you know, what are they going to show us to give us red herrings in terms of who's going out? Or are they just going to make it obvious?
Right.
You know, there's the occasional time where they make it obvious. But usually the obvious ones are when someone has no clue it's coming, but the audience gets to kind of be in on the joke that it is coming.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Those are fun.
So I don't know. I think they'll try to mislead us into thinking someone's breaking off and they just won't.
Right.
You know? So, all right. Well, that pretty well wraps things up. I think we need a hashtag. Did you have anything?
Hashtag Cole. I mean, didn't we talk about him for like 85% of this episode?
Yeah.
But no. We can't do that to Jessica. That's not fair. But.
Well, the ones that I had also related to Cole.
Okay, let's hear it.
There was bumbling Cole or babysitting Cole.
Ooh, yeah. Hashtag babysitter.
Ah. Ooh. I mean, one of us might want to check that to see what that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that might be a lot. There might be a lot of other things that have used that hashtag. Hashtag Cole sitter.
Cole sitter.
Cole sitter.
Okay. I like that. Hashtag Cole sitter. All right.
There we are.
And of course, there's always the hashtag for this podcast overall, which is YXLost. Before I go into the final usual announcements, I do want to say congratulations to Simone and her fiance, now Steve. They just got engaged, as was announced on social media last night, I think.
Yes, congratulations, Simone. That's amazing.
So, yes, Simone won on that one.
Yes, my abs are high-fiving you, Simone.
Yeah. All right. So, everybody else, make sure you subscribe to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts by going to robhasapodcast.com/survivor. We are, of course, also on the Reality TV Rehapups feed. In both places, you can find great RHAP content, the Know-It-Alls, the Wiggle Room, the RHAP B&B, and much more. Also, be sure to check out the various blogs at robhasawebsite.com/blog. You can follow Jessica on Twitter.
Please do.
At JessicaLewis89. And I'm at David Bloomberg, both on Twitter and Snapchat. If you followed me on either of those, you saw the horrible rendition of Paparazzi from the RHAP patron karaoke in New York. You should watch it just for the humor value.
And if you follow me, you'll get to see all the wonderful postings of David Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Pictures that are so much fun.
Yeah. Yes. The one of me celebrating Desi's win was particularly amusing.
I waited.
I had no idea.
I was waiting. I knew it was going to happen. So I was like, either she's going to win or she's going to lose. And there will be a reaction. And it was perfect. So, yes. So everybody check those out. It's quite fun.
Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who works tirelessly behind the scenes to do the editing on all the Why Blank Lost podcasts. Also, continuing thanks to Will from America for the theme song. And thanks to you, of course, Jessica, for another great episode, not to mention for all the fun we had in New York.
Well, thank you, David Bloomberg. This was super fun, and I did have a great time hanging out with you. Thank you so much for taking care of myself and my husband as well as you did, and for feeding me dessert. That was amazing.
Yes, we all liked the dessert.
It was so good. I think my husband ate like 4 of them. They were delicious.
All right, everybody. We will see you back here 1 week from now. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. If you love Survivor and you're feeling down, David Bloomberg will turn it around. He'll break down the rules and he'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. This is why Blank